story, or you know, right?
Correct. Yes. So you want to know where the injury happened so you know what to look out for. Because as you've probably deduced, the higher up the injury, the more at risk for respiratory complications they are.
Okay. And then you do want us to know those different medications that you was throwing out, like for like, let's say, you know, for the bladder, you know, the
Cholinergics.
cholergic and stuff. Yes. Okay.
Yes, because that's going to be part of their daily life.
Okay. Hold on. Let's see. I think that's it for me, 'cause it was just the spinal cord I'm trying to get more understanding of.
Yes, it's one of those things where you just kind of have to spend time looking at it. But generally know that, the higher up the injury, the more complications there are, and then the medications that will become part of their daily life.
Okay. Can you go over autonomic dyspraxia? Did I say that right?
Dysreflexia. Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell, why don't you tell me what you know about it first, and then I'll kind of go from there.
So I know that it's life-threatening.
Yes.
Okay. So. This is life-threatening. It's a cervical injury, higher up cervical injury, right?
That, so it's not a cervical injury, it's a person who already has one, this is kind of can be a complication of one.
Okay.
What else do you know?
I remember hearing that you said that they should be, I know the height of the bed should be elevated.
Yes.
Okay. So, hypertension? They have a sign and symptom of hypertension.
Yes, that is correct. What else? You're doing good.
I'm trying.
You are.
So they have a sign of hypertension, headaches, wouldn't they be sweating too a lot?
Yes, they're going to
So
be
yes.
sweating. Where will they be sweating? Do you remember that?
None that I don't remember, I'm gonna be honest.
So it's going to be above the site of the injury. So wherever
Like
their,
that.
yes, so wherever their injury occurred in their spine, they're going to be sweating above that site.
Okay. That down above the side of the injury. Okay. Okay.
Do you remember what causes it?
No, ma'am.
Do you remember how to fix it?
You're supposed to find the calls, right?
Yes, you find the cause. So a lot of time, it's going to be something that creates pressure, whether it is
Okay.
a very full bladder or whether it is tight clothing. It could be trying to, or tight shoes could be one. It could be a fecal impaction. So this is like
Okay, I
a
remember you saying that.
so like an
I remember.
over-exaggerated response
Okay.
that is life-threatening.
I remember you saying that. Okay, yes. So like fecal impaction. I remember you saying that.
Yes. And to fix the problem, you find the cause.
So basically, like, if it was the fecal impaction, I fix that and then it just go back to normal. Okay.
That is correct.
Okay. That's all I could think of. Oh, yeah. It was just that.
Okay.
Just wanted more, to understand it more. I'm glad I talked to you about it.
Well, I
So.
appreciate you getting on here and asking, if there's anything else that comes up while you're studying. I'm happy to help in any way that I can.
Okay. I can email you. I did email you earlier today, but I know you're on here now, so you could just email me back whenever. If I'm gonna look back at the lectures tonight before I go to sleep before stimulation tomorrow. If I
Yeah.
have any more questions, I'll just email them to you.
Okay, sounds good. Yes, I. Was the email about finding a time to meet?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I will email you back. I work at the hospital again tomorrow. But I will email you back some available times and we can get something set up for sure.
That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you, though.
Yeah, of course. You have a good day.
You too.
Bye. Hey there. Can you hear me? If you're saying anything, I can't hear you. Hey there.
I'm sorry.
No, it is all good.
So I have a laptop that I've been using for years and it doesn't have a mic. Yeah,
Oh, goodness.
so I was sitting in my bed to try to get on and I thought it would be a lot of other people in, but thank you. I didn't know. I just happened to be on here to know that you had a Webex tonight.
Yes.
I've started looking at the week six, I think it's week six information on a lot of the spinal stuff. This will I'm assuming it's going to be majority of the final is going to be week six information.
We will release to y'all the plan for it soon.
Okay.
Yes.
So I have not gone through all of the information yet, but I don't know. I can't get a grasp on the exams in this class for some reason. I haven't been able to figure out the exams. So the last exam, I did all the open hours, the office hours. I did all the of course the ATIs. I did all the chapters. I read through the chapters and then skim. And then of course, all the PowerPoints and all the lectures. I did it all. It don't seem to be working for me. I'm not sure. I've even done the counseling sessions, Ms. Tillman, also Dr. Jaeger. I've done that. So I'm not sure studying for these exams. I'm gonna make, I guess I need to make a one-on-one appointment, or I was gonna get it with Miss Montgomery. And so I don't know, any advice, anything with that?
So, I will recommend getting with either Miss Montgomery or I privately. I don't want to, these are recorded. But something I will say is, have you ever heard of the VARK assessment, VARK?
I have not.
So the VARK assessment, I have found to be useful. What
Okay.
it is like a free online quiz that tells you your learning style, how you learn best based on how you answer the questions that they ask. And when it tells you your learning style, it gives you a whole bunch of different strategies to study catered towards your learning style.
Okay.
And I found that that's been very beneficial for some people, because a lot of people, you've studied one way your entire life, and then you get to nursing school. Like, I was an example. I got to nursing school and I was like, I literally have been doing this for how many years, studying and taking tests, and this is just not working. And then I learned through the VARK assessment that I was not studying towards my learning style, but I was
Okay.
able to get by before then. But with just the complex information that, you get, I couldn't make it work with how I was doing it in the past. And so that gave me strategies to study best for me and how I learn and how I can, retain and apply the knowledge. So I would
Okay.
recommend doing the VARK assessment.
Okay. V as in Victor Bark.
Yes.
Okay. I can do that. I'll look that up tonight. But I think you do have, I'm looking now, office hours, another one before the final, correct? I think.
Let me, maybe if I'm being honest, I don't remember off the top of my head. Let me
Okay.
look and I'll
I
tell
don't
you.
see it on upcoming, but I'm assuming that you would have, maybe not. I don't know, because the final is not until the 7th. So.
Let me look, because I can't remember off the top of my head. I do know Miss Montgomery and I have been talking about things to do before the final to help y'all. And so
Okay.
we will have something. I don't think that I will
Okay.
really have office hours before the final. But we are going to be doing something together to try to help y'all out.
Okay. It is needed.
We're happy to do anything that we can to help. So that is in the works of being planned and announced.
Okay. All right. I think that was the main things that I needed. I just didn't know, how much information that you said it'll come later on, how much information, because I know the other class is like, I think they have like 60 questions, I want to say, but like 30 of them is going to be the last, the last week that we have it tested on. And that normally happens that way, but
It'll
anyway, I'll
probably be, end up being about half and half.
And then I think they said the rationales should be open now, and I
Yes,
haven't had a chance to look at that yet.
they
I'm sure you'll get an email from other students on that.
Well, that is okay. We are happy to help in any way that we can. So, yes, the rationales were released at 3 o'clock.
Okay. And so I put the information out that, that you're on, so maybe somebody will see it.
Yes, we have two more. Do y'all have any questions for me on this week's content?
Sorry, I couldn't hear. I'm just coming in.
Oh, it's all good. We were just kind of chatting. I just asked if y'all had any questions from this week's content.
It's a kind of a lot, but yeah. Okay, material. I haven't got a chance to look at the lectures, but I skimmed through the PowerPoints. I don't know. Can we just go over like some testable questions that, you know, or like a case study or something? I don't know. Something to get our brains worked up and what type of questions we could possibly see.
Let's see. Let me pull up some different things real quick. So what content do you want to start with?
I have a question.
Okay.
How many questions come from this material on the final? And how many questions are on the final?
We're going to release all of that to y'all soon. That's a work in progress that we've been talking about. I can say that it'll probably be like half old content, half new content for the final. But the exact questions of what haven't been ironed out completely yet.
Okay. Do you want to go in the order you gave it to us? Spinal cord, traumatic brain injury, intracranial pressure, then brain tumors?
Works for me.
Okay.
So let's see. Are y'all good if I just kind of start asking general questions?
Well, if we don't know the answer.
Well, then we talk about it and we learn.
Okay, that's fine.
No, this is for y'all to learn. This is not for me to quiz y'all and all that. I'm going to just start kind of asking questions and we'll just kind of go from there. Okay. So if you have a client who has a cervical spinal injury, what are you worried about?
Always be respiration.
Yes. So if they have a cervical injury, you're always worried about the respiratory system. The higher up the injury in the spine, the more systems involved and more problems they'll have. But respiratory is always going to be number one. One way to think about it is, you know, our lungs are encased by our ribs, right? And that's connected to our spine in the back. And so if our spine's not working, those ribs aren't, because the ribs, you know, expand and stuff when we breathe, but they're not doing that if the spine's not working. So that's why we would be worried about the lungs and not necessarily like a smooth muscle right off, you know, like the intestines. That's not our primary worry at that moment. It's going to be the patient actually breathing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you have a client who comes in and they have a C4 injury, what would you anticipate?
Intubate.
That's right. What kind of complications could occur from intubation?
Pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Aspiration.
That's right. That is right. What are some causes of spinal cord injuries?
car accident, football.
Yeah. So say somebody comes in from a car accident and they have a spinal cord injury. Besides respiratory, what would your priority be?
Circulation.
Mobilizing them.
What do you mean by that?
Collar maybe or something. Long
Yeah.
road.
Yeah, so you wanna stabilize the spine. So that would be a priority because, moving them can cause further damage. So we want to stabilize the spine, whether it's a C collar, place them on a backboard, and then, respiratory will always be a priority as well. So if they come in with a from a motor vehicle accident and we have stabilized the spine and we have they're intubated, so we're not worried about respiratory, and they become hypotensive. What are our other worries?
Shop,
Bleeding out.
neurogenic, and cardio.
Bleeding.
Did you say cardio? I don't know.
I think I heard
Bleeding.
yes, because if they're in a motor vehicle accident, they probably have some other kind of injury, right? If it was bad enough to have a spinal cord injury, they're probably gonna have another significant injury. So we can't just outright assume that the hypotension is from, neurogenic shock right off. We've got to investigate to make sure that it's not from blood loss. So, for clients who have a spinal cord injury, what other body systems are involved? Like this, I'm thinking more long term.
Urinary,
Okay, so what about urinary?
they may need like a Foley permanent to help them use the restroom.
Yeah. Have neurogenic bladder, right? And there's, different types, whether they can't pee or they can't control it. And they have to have either a Foley or what's the permanent catheter called?
Super PB.
Yes, that's right. What is the ideal situation that the book says? If possible.
What was the question again?
So
if
The
somebody,
self cathy.
yeah, so the intermittent
Self
catheter.
cathy.
So I was asking if somebody requires a catheter to urinate. What does your book say is like the ideal situation? We wanted an intermittent catheter. What else could be affected by this? So we just talked about urinary.
With sexual function.
Okay, sexual function for sure. And that's something that we need to talk about with the clients and their families, right?
What will we tell them?
Well, it depends on the problem. Depending on the problem, we want to make sure that they know that it's still an option. It's going to be client to client. What other body systems are we worried about?
Skin, GI, and metal bodies.
Okay, let's talk about skin. What are we worried about?
Breakdown. Please.
Yes, breakdown. Huge deal, right? So what can y'all think of that would be part of client and caregiver teaching in regards to skin?
Turn and reposition every 2 hours.
Okay, so we're gonna be turning. What else?
Moisturize.
Okay, moisturize them. What else?
I'm encouraging independence. Giving
hydration.
Yeah, we want to encourage independence. We also want to make sure they stay hydrated. What else is very important for skin healing?
High protein.
Yes, high protein, nutrition. Very important. People always, you know, give a negative connotation to calories, but calories are, that's like the body's energy, right? That's the gas in the gas tank for our bodies to be able to do what it needs to do. So they're going to need high calorie, high protein to be able to have that healing if they have a pressure injury. Let's see what else. Y'all are doing great.
Yeah, I think so too, considering not able to listen to this stuff yet.
No, y'all really are doing great. Okay, somebody said GI. What do y'all know about GI?
Motility, bowels.
Okay, what do you mean by motility and bowels?
They may suffer from constipation.
Okay, they may suffer from constipation. What else are they at risk for?
Aspiration, difficulty swallowing.
Okay, what is difficulty swallowing called?
Dysphagia.
That is correct. And there's something else that they're at risk for.
Stress ulcers.
Stress ulcers. So what medication might we administer to help prevent stress ulcers?
PPI.
A PPI, what does that stand for?
Proton pump
inhibitor.
Y'all good. So what's an example of a proton pump inhibitor?
Pepsi.
Omeprazole.
Protonix.
Yes, Protonix. So Pepsi isn't a proton pump inhibitor, but it does the same thing. It's H2 agonist, I believe. So same concept, just different class of medication. Okay, what else are they at risk for? Not GI. I've moved on to another system, in my brain at least.
Thermal.
Okay, thermal. What do you mean by that?
Regulating their body temps.
Okay, regulating their body temperature. Yeah. That's right. What else are they at risk for?
Everything.
You ain't wrong. there's another big one that I'm thinking of that we would.
Oh.
What?
No, say male body.
That's probably not it. I was going to say relationships, like, but that's not a body system. But he's at risk for, you know, Shakasia, what I'm thinking.
She's talking about sex, a sexual relationship.
No, not just that, but like family. You know, when something like that happens, your self-esteem, everything is affected. So you don't want to mingle and you don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not what you're thinking.
No, but I mean, we already kind of discussed it a little bit before you hopped on. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely a thing. Not only the sexual, you know, aspect of it, but also these people are grieving the life that they used to have while trying to learn how to carry on with these new adaptations that they're going to have to learn. So they might, you know, be depressed, withdrawn.
Mm-hmm.
You have to talk to them therapeutically and honestly, and try to help them learn ways to adapt. What else are they at risk for? It's something I'm thinking of that we would try to prevent.
Blood clots.
Blood clots, yes. How do we prevent that?
Passive.
heparin, a small dose heparin, maybe. What's those things called? The things we put on their legs.
Yeah, what's it called? Bonaprint.
Sequential
suppression devices.
SCDs, that's right. It would be easier or harder to detect if they get a VTE.
Harder.
It's going to be harder, but harder.
Yeah, why?
They can't feel their legs, probably.
Yeah.
And they may, they may be swollen a lot, too. So, I mean, just from the injury itself.
That is all right. What is the preferred diagnostic?
CT.
A CT. Let's see.
So this I go to CT.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
That's what the book says.
I seen it on the PowerPoint too.
So for a client with a high cervical cord injury, we talked about, you know, it would be a priority to immobilize to prevent further injury. What are those things called, the devices that we might need?
A Hoyer lift?
Not a Hoyer.
A cervical collar.
So,
the halo.
Yes, the halo. What is that?
Some mobilization that basically anchors to like the shoulders. I can't explain it, but
what are we worried about?
In the head?
Yeah, they put pins in the head. So what are we worried about?
Infection.
Francine, what page that's on? Do you know?
I don't know.
I have it pulled up. Let me look.
I don't have my book.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Page 1602.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Yeah, you're welcome.
Because I got to pass, so I'm failing this class. And I need every little, you know, bit of education. I have been stressing and I've been trying, and it's not sticking, some of this stuff.
You will pass.
Well, I'm certainly happy to help in any way that I can. What questions do y'all have about spinal cord injuries? Because y'all done great.
I looked at your video already on that first one where you was talking about these. And on in that area, I think I was okay.
Okay.
Because you have like three sets of videos. The first one is the one I listened to on the way to work and on the way home today. So.
Well, good deal. Yeah, I try to break it up for y'all. The powers that be, whoever decide these things, say that, you know, our brain can't retain information over long periods of time, that we do better keeping it broken up. So I try to do that for y'all. So what was my next PowerPoint? Was it like brain injury?
Let me see.
I don't remember what order.
Brain pressure and traumatic brain injuries.
Perfect. Let's see.
Oh, yep.
Okay. So who wants to tell me what ICP means?
Intracranial pressure.
And what actually is that? What do those words mean?
Intramural pressure inside.
Yeah, so pressure on the inside of the brain. But why is that important? Like, why do we even talk about intracranial pressure? What happens if it's out of whack?
You can die from it.
Yeah, you can die from it, right? From too much. What is it composed of? Like, what makes up ICP? What is it?
Is it cerebral spinal fluid?
Okay, that's one of them.
Could it be your, blood?
The intravascular blood.
arterial and venous pressure
influence it, but that's not what it's composed of. So hold that thought. We'll get to that.
Okay.
There's one more thing that makes up ICP. It's, y'all said two of the three.
Temperature.
Not temperature. It's brain tissue.
So we said it was brain tissue, blood, what did we say?
Blood.
The intravascular blood.
And cerebral spinal fluid.
Correct.
Thank you.
But things that influence it are the arterial pressure, the venous pressure, even the pressure within the thoracic and abdominal cavities. And temperature affects it as well. So what is normal ICP?
50 ml. Something I seen. Oh, no, that ain't right. Something I seen.
What y'all think? What's normal?
Is it 20? Level of
less than 20?
Yeah, so normal is about 5 to 15. And if it's greater than 20, we got a problem. So what is cerebral blood flow?
Blood flow in your brain.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is cerebral perfusion pressure?
The other liquids that's running through there.
Not quite. So cerebral perfusion pressure, think of it, it's like your brain's own blood pressure, okay? So there's a calculation that I talk about in the PowerPoint to figure out what the cerebral perfusion pressure is. Have any of y'all seen that yet?
Yeah, that's the 50 ml minute.
And that's the ICP minus the MAP.
So it's the MAP minus the ICP, and we want it to be 60 to 100. Let me close this door 1 second, y'all.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. I see it.
But if we think about it like our brain's blood pressure, that kind of makes sense though, right? Just like for, you know, perfusion, when we look at it, we want the MAP to be 65 or greater. So same thing for our brain's own blood pressure, the CPP. So what are some causes of increased ICP?
Brain, would it be brain injuries?
Yes, brain injuries. What else?
Tumors.
Yeah, tumors.
Bleeding on the brain.
Mm-hmm. Bleeding on the brain. And what's the worst thing that can happen if the ICP stays too high for too long?
Can go into a coma.
Okay, that is part of it, yes. But what can happen to the brain itself?
Ischemia. Infarction.
Not quite. That's one thing that can cause increased ICP. But I'm thinking, what is, if there's too much pressure in the brain for too long, what's the worst thing that can happen from that?
That's for the tissue to move to, like,
there's nowhere for it to go, right? And what do we call that?
Water, hydro, that.
Not that. This is like the very worst thing that can happen if there's too much pressure in the brain for too long. There's no coming back from this. Starts with an H.
Hemorrhage.
What was the question? Hemorrhage?
Not hemorrhage.
Bleed on the brain, hematoma.
Herniation.
Herniation.
Oh, I'm looking right at herniation.
Y'all know if somebody has like a hernia in their abdomen, the tissue kind of pops out because there's nowhere for it to go. Well, if your brain, if there's too much pressure for too long, the skull is enclosed, right? It can only take so much, bless you.
Thank you.
So eventually, you would herniate, and your brain's just going to try to push out wherever it can because there's no room. Okay, so that's the worst thing that can happen. So what does it look like for increased ICP? If your patient has increased ICP, what do they look like?
The pupils would change.
The pupils can change, yes. What else?
Decrease in LOC.
Okay, so a change in the level of consciousness.
Vomiting, projectile.
Okay, what's special about the vomiting, the projectile vomiting?
You said it's no warning, no nausea or vomiting, it just...
No warning, no nausea, it is just projectile. What else?
Can't function, can't move.
Okay.
Some posturing.
Posturing, what does that mean?
Well, you know, when you lose oxygen to the brain, they be doing different stuff with their hands. I don't know the name of it.
Okay, so if their hands are facing inwards, what is it called? Not decerebrate.
Is it tonic?
Decorticate.
Yes, it is decorticate. So the way to remember it is if the hands are facing inwards, going towards the core, it's decorticate. If they're going outward, it's decerebrate. But always remember, decorticate is towards the core. I don't know if that helps y'all. I have to come up with like ways to remember things. So what is Cushing's triad?
It's the opposite of shock.
Okay, so it's opposite, vital signs look opposite than shock. Mm-hmm. So what do they look like?
Hypertension.
So maybe the blood pressure will be high and the heart rate will be low.
Mm-hmm. And what else will be low?
Pulse, respirations.
Respiration, maybe the that's right. Are we worried if they have Cushing's triad?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We worried. They go in towards herniation. What about a child? Like an infant. What do they look like if they have increased ICP?
Don't they have big heads?
Fingers or something?
Hold on. Y'all kind of said something at once. Say it again.
They got a big head, don't they?
So they might have the... What about the cry?
It's high pitch.
Yes, that is like the thing that they're known for is a high pitch cry. Mm-hmm. They do have an increased head circumference. And then the bulging fontanelles. But the high pitch cry is like the... Oh, that means high ICP. What kind of diagnostics might these people need?
CT.
Okay, CT.
MRI.
Okay, MRI. Hmm?
EEG.
Okay, an EEG. What would that tell us?
Activity of the brain.
Rhythm.
Say it again.
The electrical activity of the brain.
The electrical activity of the brain. That's right. What else? What about a lumbar puncture?
Yes.
No. No, it's contraindicated.
It's contraindicated.
Indicated. There you go.
That is right. So how do we monitor their ICP?
We put that thing on their head, the transducer thing.
Okay. You're right. It has a transducer.
Ventricostomy?
Yeah, I've always called it like a ventric drain, but that's right. Is that something that we put on them?
I would assume. I think a doctor has to do it.
A doctor has to do it because it's a catheter that goes into the brain.
Oh, wow. I want to see one of those.
I'm trying to think what my next question is going to be. But yeah, it does. It connects to a transducer, and that's what we monitor. So how do we help these people? How do we fix increased ICP as nurses?
We treat the underlying cause first.
Okay, so we help determine the underlying cause. What else do we do as nurses?
If they have the drainage, we monitor it. And we monitor for infection.
Maybe decrease the stimulation, low light in room, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's right. And that's the same thing for seizures. We want to decrease stimulation. What are some medications we might give?
Mannitol.
What is that?
We had that last time, mannitol.
So what is it?
It pulls the fluid.
Okay, it pulls the fluid. So what kind of medication is it? It's a diuretic. So what are we worried about when we give a diuretic?
Potassium.
The fluid. Electrolyte imbalance.
So what else might we need to monitor besides the electrolytes?
Potassium.
The heart function.
Not the heart function. There's something else. Another organ. The kidneys. Because if we're trying to pull fluid from somewhere and make them pee it out, what if they can't pee?
Oh, yeah.
So that's something we would want to monitor for, right?
Yes.
So what electrolyte do we want to monitor with mannitol?
Potassium.
Yes, but that's not the first one. Sodium. That's in furosemide, it's definitely potassium. For mannitol, it's sodium. Because it's an osmotic diuretic. What does osmotic mean? What do y'all think about when you hear that word?
Water.
It's pulling the water, but leaving the... So no, don't listen to me. I'm getting pharmacology class mixed up with this.
Well, I mean, it should kind of all go together. But yeah, when I hear the word osmotic, I think of water. And what do we know about sodium and water?
They go together. Each other.
They follow each other. So if we take too much water, we could take too much sodium. And then we in a whole different issue, right?
Yes, ma'am.
What's another medication we might give?
PPIs.
Okay. Why?
I always think when you go through stuff like that, your body's in stress. So recently, what I was thinking.
Yeah, I agree. What's another medication?
Steroids.
Set up.
Okay, steroid. What's an example of a steroid?
Prednisone.
Okay. What are we worried about?
I don't know. Blood sugar.
Blood sugar.
Yeah. Blood sugar. What else?
There's an anticonvulsant.
Yes, an anticonvulsant. Because all these it seems like a lot, right? All this material, but it all goes together. So, like a potential cause of increased ICP is having a seizure. What do we get for seizures? Anticonvulsants. So, if you look at it together as a whole, it might help lessen the anxiety of information overload. And we'll talk more about anticonvulsants when we get to seizures. I'll ask y'all about that.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Yes. There's one more thing that's kind of like mannitol that we might give.
A vasodilator?
Not a vasodilator.
It's the one that go like this, like, start with D.
Desmopressin? That's what you're saying?
You're talking about
for...
Oh.
HTZ?
No, it's hypertonic saline. The 3% saline. So very concentrated saline.
That ain't what I was going to say. Okay.
It has the same effect of mannitol as pulling. Because, you know, where sodium goes, water goes, and vice versa. So if we're putting a whole bunch of sodium into the cell, the water is going to want to come into the cell off the brain.
So the 3% is, explain it again.
So it's the same. So we know that water and sodium, they like each other, right? So if we're giving a very concentrated sodium, because if you think about it, what is normal saline? What's that concentration?
0.9, I don't know.
0.9. And if we're given 3%, that's like three times the concentration of that, right? So if we're giving very concentrated sodium, we're giving it into the intravascular space, right? Into the vein. So the whole purpose behind that is when we give this through an IV, the water is going to want to come to that. So the water is going to come out of the space it's not supposed to be into the vein.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out. I was thinking, okay, let's put more salt in the body so it's more water going in the body, but it's the veins versus the body water.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
What is a GCS?
GCS.
Glasgow Coma Scale.
Oh.
Yeah. So what is that?
You just test in different parts of the body, the eyes, the response, the motor.
Mm-hmm. And add the points.
Yeah, so it's a very quick way to obtain a lot of information about your client. So, you know, you ask them different questions. If you just walk into a room and say, hey, Ms. Smith, and they open their eyes, or if they're in there when you get there and they're like looking around, they get a 4 for that category, right? If you ask them, can you tell me, you know, what's your name? And they tell you. And they're able to tell you where they are and what time it is. They get a lot of points for that, too. So it's points for how they respond to these questions. But what tells us so much is their total score when you add those points together. Because score... are they comatose?
3.
8 or less.
8 or less. 3 is completely unresponsive. They don't do anything. So what is our, besides medications that we've talked about, what is our job like, what is our nursing management for ICP? I gave y'all two different little ways to remember.
Cough and perfuse.
Yes, cough and perfuse. We don't want to do cough. So we, because you think about, we want to do everything that we can to prevent their ICP from increasing. Coughing would do that, right? So what are, what is, I already told y'all what the C stands for. We don't want them to cough. What else are things that we want to avoid?
Did she say cough and what was the second one? Don't, the deep breathing?
So it's, we don't cough. It's like C period, O period, a way to remember it. And then perfuse is what we do want to do.
Thank you. Sorry.
No, you're good. So trying. What are some of the things in the cough?
Would you hear crackles? Is that what you mean?
Not crackles. It's just a way to remember it. So C stands for cough. We don't want them to cough. What does the O stand for?
Would it be oxygen?
Not oxygen. These are things that we want to avoid.
I'm looking at your PowerPoint with coughing in the dots. Mm-hmm. I was trying to cheat and get the answer, but it's not there.
So, oral or endotracheal suctioning, okay?
Yes.
We don't want to do anything that's going to increase the pressure in their brain. So we don't want them to cough. We don't want to suction them. We don't want them to, like, blow their nose a whole bunch. We want to keep their neck in line. So perfuse, these are things that we do want to do. That's going to be how we position the head of the bed. How do we want to position the head of the bed?
Low?
Not low. We want it elevated. If we have to turn our patient and we need to keep them midline, how do we do that?
With the rope? Log roll.
You're right.
Okay.
See how all this goes together? Like spinal cord injuries, we log roll. We do the same thing for increased ICP. These people, safety is going to be a huge thing. So we want to want seizure precautions. We're going to assess their skin integrity. So what about head injuries? What might they look like?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they can look normal.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they can look normal. That's right. What else might they look like?
They may have something protruding.
Mm-hmm. They may have something protruding.
They may have some internal bleeding.
They might have internal bleeding.
Probably some bruising.
Yeah, they might have some bruising.
They could have some internal pressure.
They most definitely can have some increased ICP.
The level of consciousness can be off.
Their level of consciousness can be off. So what's it called if they have bleeding in the brain? What do we call that? Or if it's not in the brain, but within the skull.
Is it a TBI?
So not a TBI, because a TBI can be caused from something else. So not a hemorrhage. So a hemorrhage is in the brain. So that's like if a blood vessel were to rupture. But this is like bleeding within an area of the skull.
A
hematoma. And there's different types depending on the area.
So that was within the skull.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Do y'all know which one is a medical emergency?
A subdural?
Not a subdural. It's going to be an epidural. That one is the neurological emergency. So what do we do as nurses? How do we fix it? This is going to be in like the acute period. Remember how I've said that all of this kind of goes together.
So we want to minimize their stress, maybe lights down.
Okay.
Oxygen. Make sure oxygen.
Yeah. So our priorities are going to be our ABCs, because this is the acute period we're talking about. Just like in spinal cord injuries, we're worried about the respiratory status. We're worried about the same thing in a head injury. So just like spinal cord injuries, what would be another priority besides that?
Positioning.
Yeah, you're right. Positioning. What kind of positioning?
I guess
it's stabilizing the spine, right? See how it's all kind of going together?
Yes, ma'am.
Let's see. So what about for the more chronic TBIs? What can we do for them? What are some teachings y'all can think of?
Would they not be able to blow cough too?
Would they what?
Not be able to cough.
I'll say, you're kind of cutting out. I couldn't quite hear what you were saying.
You said, would they not be able to cough and blow?
Yeah, we don't want to increase the ICP. So, you know, you could teach them ways to minimize it.
Do you want them to report if they have worsening headaches or?
Absolutely. You want to teach them what symptoms to look out for and when to call the doctor.
Nutrition,
most definitely. Another thing, and I said this in my lecture, and this is a question or a topic that the NCLEX likes. In the acute phase, what do you do if you find clear liquid coming out of their ears?
Can we get the multiple choice answers like the NCLEX? We can choose.
I can't come up with all those right now. If they have clear liquid coming out of their ears, we're worried that it's CSF.
Yeah, right. And it can be a risk for infection.
And we're gonna call the provider and we're gonna test it for what?
Protein and glucose.
Got it. So also in the acute phase, what if they have to have surgery? What would we need to do as nurses?
Educate, inform consent.
Okay. What else would we do for these people?
Would they start them on an antibiotic or I don't know?
They might, but luckily that's not our decision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Months of nausea and vomiting.
Okay, nausea and vomiting. We want to prevent that for sure.
Want to maybe collaborate with other specialties?
Yeah, we definitely want to collaborate with, you know, other specialties, depending on what they need in the post-op period. What's a huge one? If they're having surgery going into their brain, what are we worried about?
Bleeding?
Infection?
Liver function?
Infection. The surgical dressings, right? And we can also teach them signs and symptoms of infection. Does all that make sense?
Shower.
Y'all feel better about that?
Yes, ma'am.
That's a lot, but it all, like you said, coming together. I'm just have to go back and look over it again.
It all goes together. Because the thing about it is that somebody who has a head injury or somebody who has a spinal cord injury, as a result, could have seizures. Seizures can increase their ICP. So it all goes together. So what about brain tumors?
Ooh. Tumors. They can cause a lot of problems.
They sure can. What might they look like? Like what, if your patient has a brain tumor, what might they look like?
Oh, I know this may not be right. I think people with brain tumors sometimes look normal because we don't find out about the tumor till the last minute. So
they may complain about headaches.
Headaches is a huge one. What specifically about headaches?
It's worse.
It said it's dull.
Dull, and it's worse when?
When they lie down?
Yeah, when they lie down or at night, because I mean, at night you're typically lying down. Why do y'all think, thinking about the things that we've talked about, they would be worse at night when we're lying down?
Pressure?
Is running increased ICP. Yeah. Too much pressure.
Position.
Go ahead.
I would think, you know, it depends on where the tumor's at. Well,
exactly.
But you know, the effects of it, depending on where it's located.
That's exactly. What they look like is going to depend on where the tumor is. So what about diagnostics?
MRI, CT scan.
MRI, CT scan. Those are typically the ideal studies when it comes to neuro. CT scans and MRIs, with the exception of seizures, that would be the EEG. And then of course too, just your neuro exam of your patient. So how do we fix a brain tumor?
Surgically remove?
Remove it, yeah. And if remove it's too big,
we'll shrink it if we can. How might they shrink it?
Radiation.
Radiation. What's the issue with chemotherapy?
Oh, it kills every cell, not just the cancer cells. It kills everything.
Okay, but what's the issue with it? That is very true, like generally speaking. But for the brain specifically, why do they go to radiation and not chemo?
It crosses the blood-brain barrier.
Yeah, it doesn't typically cross it. So it's not going to be effective. So then we would just be giving them something that doesn't work except to hurt other healthy cells, right? There is one form that will cross it that your book talks about.
What's the name of it?
Let's see. I think it's on my PowerPoint.
Well, what page is it?
Let me look for y'all.
Is that important to know?
It's 1504.
Thank you. 100.
So what are some things that we do for patients with brain tumors?
Seizure precaution.
Support them.
Do neuro exams, I guess. Mm-hmm. Hospital policy. I don't know how often.
Yeah, it'll, you know, doctor order, facility policy type thing.
Keep them independent as possible.
Yep, we want to encourage independency. So let's touch on seizures.
I have one question on the tumor. They don't do biopsies to see what type of tumor before they, I mean.
Yes, they will. They'll get a tissue sample.
Okay.
That's how they get a, like a confirmative correct diagnosis would be from a tissue sample.
Thanks for asking it, Francie.
But it's still considered brain surgery if they do a biopsy, so I guess. The same type of nursing care.
Mm-hmm.
Miracle. So, Michelle,
what do y'all know about seizures?
I should know a lot.
They can be absent.
Okay. They can be absent. They can be focal. Mm-hmm.
They can have some have aura leading up to a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
Some even can have like smells, tastes, different things, let them know that they're going to have a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
Certain lights can produce seizures, like bright lights, if they are sensitive to that or they are contraindicated in seizure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Some people grow out of them and some people don't.
Some people can grow out of them. What about children? What seizures are most common for them? What type?
Chronic.
Is it the one when they just stare off? I don't know what that is. Like they just stare.
The absent, yeah. That is primarily seen in childhood, but I'm thinking of a type of seizure that you see often or more often in childhood.
The tonic one?
Not, it starts with the F.
Focal.
Not focal.
Ebrow.
Ebrow, yes.
Ebrow, yes, that's it.
That's right.
That's why they say get the temps down fast, right?
Yeah, you don't want them to have too high of a temperature.
That's right, Marilyn.
I'm the doctor.
So let's see. So we've talked about the different types. So they all look different, right? What are some things that we're worried about with a patient who has a seizure?
Aspiration.
Self-injury.
Aspiration. Self-injury.
Osteogenesis.
Their bladder, bowels. So it will be being humiliate. I don't know the word I'm trying to say.
So, yes, they can become incontinent. But during the seizure, during the active seizure, we're probably not that worried about it. You know, we can deal with that after they've gotten through that acute little part of it. I heard about oxygen. That's correct.
Hypoxia.
Hypoxia.
Dysrhythmias.
Okay. What, what's a complication that we're worried about?
ICP.
Yeah, a seizure can increase ICP, and increased ICP can cause a seizure. Mm-hmm. What is status epilepticus? Because that's what I'm thinking about, a complication. Anybody have any guesses for what it is?
I've heard of it. I can't remember.
It's like a long, or it's like drawn out, like a focal, like they're, I don't know. It's so many minutes after it gets to a point to where it's like drawn out.
It's continuous seizures. Like they
continuous.
Keep going. Okay. Yeah.
Continuous. The state after a seizure is the post-ictal state.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, a status epilepticus is continuous seizures. So what might we give during that time?
My daughters have a Retal. She has like a Retal medication. I forgot the name of.
Yeah, but what type of medication is it?
Phenytoin, anticonvulsive.
Anticonvulsant. Why do you think that she has a rectal version of it?
You can't put nothing in their mouth.
Can't put nothing in their mouth. But in the hospital, how are we going to give it?
IV.
IV.
IV. IV, that's right. So, for diagnostic studies, we've already said that EEG is one of them. But what is the most useful?
MRI?
Not MRI. Not a CT.
Is it blood work or history?
Not blood work. History.
Like the comprehensive
description.
History,
like- yeah, so description of seizures and their past medical history. Let's see. So, what is our nursing management? If we say that, you know, somebody's on seizure precautions, what does that actually mean?
They get the soft pad on the floor by the bed. Make sure the bed's all the way down.
Pad the rails.
Pad the rails.
Make sure the environment is safe.
So what does that mean?
No sharp objects. No restrictive clothing.
No restrictive clothing. That's right. What else?
The lighting in the room.
What about the lighting?
You want it dim.
Yeah, you don't want too much stimulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
What else do you want to have available in the room?
They need oxygen.
Oxygen, and what else?
Suction.
Suction.
No,
Yeah. You might have to, after the, you know, immediate seizure, you might have to suction their mouth. So if you're caring for a client and they start having a seizure, what do you do?
Put them to the floor, to the lowest point.
To the floor.
Okay, so say they're in the bed.
On the side. Put them on this side.
Okay, put them, turn them on their side. Which side?
The left.
Left side.
The left side. Okay, what else do you do?
You want to protect them from harming themselves, like their heads and things.
Yeah. But if they're on the bed, we're not really worried about them hitting their head on, like, concrete, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, what else? But I mean, that's right if, you know, they were to have to lay on the floor. We're not going to hold their head. Okay, but you might have to just slip, you know, like a thin blanket. Nothing that can restrain them, but something just to keep them from going directly on concrete. What else are you going to do if, you know, you're in your patient's room and they start seizing?
Do you need to time the seizure?
Yeah, that's right. You need to time it.
I was going to say duration.
What else might you do?
Oral secretion? Oh, we already said that, didn't we?
Yeah, we said we might have to suction their mouth after, but not during. In regards to the timing, what is something else that we want to make sure that we remember? So we're going to time it. We want to know duration. What it looks like.
That we're doing the duration.
What were they doing before? Were they doing something that caused it?
Yeah, okay.
Or triggered it? What else can y'all think of? Are you going to leave the room to go find your coworker?
Stay with your patient.
You going to stay with them. Let's see. And we're going to want to check their vitals after, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, y'all got this. Buddy, great.
Did I miss a... I'm sorry, I just asked. Did I miss a announcement, or is it on our printout of how many new questions and how many old questions?
We have not posted it yet.
Oh, okay.
But it's coming soon.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know the exact number, but it's going to be about half and half. What other questions y'all have about this content? Y'all did great. I hope this helped y'all kind of piece it all together.
Is there any information that's just like sticking out there to you? Like, oh, y'all really need to know this.
Not right now, no. I don't know if y'all noticed. I always ask the same, like speaking with y'all, I ask the same questions. What does it look like? You know, complicate. What are they at risk for? How do we fix it? What's some education? Those are things that I continuously ask y'all during this time. That's what I always recommend to learn. So, you know, seizures. What does it look like? What are we worried about? How do we fix it? Patient education. What are they at risk for? So make it as simple as you can. All this information goes together.
But there's not net.
What's up?
Our questions on our test, though, sometimes the wording is off for us. It's not. It's the way the some of the questions are. Like how they're worded.
They're written that way. That's how the NCLEX writes them. But if you break it down to its simplest form, it's going to be one of the, what does it look like? What does your patient look like? What are your assessment findings for that patient? Whether it's from a physical assessment or a lab assessment, looking at their lab work, what are they at risk for? What are complications that can happen? You know, patient education. it's written that way because that's how the NCLEX writes it. But do your very best to break it down to the simplest form. Is this question asking me, you know, what does it look like with the assessment, or what am I worried about, or what are some things that I can educate on? That's the simplest form of it.
Okay.
Do you and have that any- too, you can go ahead.
I'm sorry. Do you have any recommendations for preparing for the final?
So I would obviously study the new content. I would also look at past content. I'd review all of it, but I'll spend the most time on the content that you struggled with. So kind of make yourself a study plan. You know what you missed on past test in regards to what content it was. And I would look at everything, but also make sure that you've clarified that content that you struggled with. The purpose behind why I ask the questions that I do in regards to conversation like this is that it also keeps you focused on what's important. It focuses more on the need to know, not the nice to know. Even though the actual test questions might be worded more eloquently, it's still the basic. The basics of it is going to be what I'm asking you right now in these conversations, but that just keeps you from going in the weeds because the book has a lot of great information, but it's not all need to know. Does that make sense? Why do you look like that, Miss Stokes?
Them two know. I talked to them. This has been my worst course ever, and I'm stressed. I'm about to put myself into a seizure.
don't be doing that now. Don't be doing that. What can I help y'all with? How do y'all feel about our conversation tonight? Is there anything else I can help clarify for y'all?
I feel good about this content. It's the last test content that if it's on this final, it was a struggle.
So before the final, email me or Ms. Montgomery to set up a time to meet with us so we can help clarify any information that needs to be clarified, okay? We're here to help y'all. We really are.
She told me to stop by her office tomorrow after 1:00. She just emailed me back a few minutes ago.
Well, good. Good. You know, but if she has... If there's any questions that she can answer on my content, let me just say she totally can. If y'all need it worded a different way, need further clarification, don't hesitate to reach out to me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We want y'all to be successful. So if y'all need help, just ask for it.
Yes, ma'am.
Y'all try to get you some rest, okay?
Yes, ma'am. This is a good review.
Remember to make your study time. It's quality over quantity. It don't matter if you study 12 hours if you only retain 2 hours of it. So give yourself breaks. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Good night, sisters.
Good night. Bye.